All right. Well, in this case, it's Jim and Frank. But we get the billboard twice with the 5:30 start, but we appreciate that. Welcome to Who's Talking. This is our second half hour tonight. We're leading into the pregame show for your Richmond Flying Squirrels. Good luck to the Squirrels. I guess game two tonight in the championship series, with the Squirrels having won last night. But that's not the subject matter for us. We're talking Virginia's football here tonight with Dr. Bobby Call, former Virginia defensive back, I believe, right?
Righto.
Righto. And Michael Tuskey is going to be with us. So the Tuskey family, if you're worried that you haven't heard from Michael yet, he's going to be on mic before long. He did make it to the studio. But at any rate, before we break down North Carolina and maybe have another comment or two about Indiana, I should mention 345-0910 if anybody wants to call in and ask a question of Frank, me, or Dr. Call, or Michael, or whomever. But anyway, we're going to go straight to the play of the game, and I think a lot of the Wahoo Nation may know exactly what that play of the game is going to be. It's brought to you this fall by our friends at LeClaire Ryan, and Frank's going to describe it right now.
We've chosen the men's football game versus Indiana from last weekend. In the late fourth quarter, UVA had regained the lead after a 15-play drive that Rocco almost single-handedly...
A correction?
Yes, sir.
The game was tied. We had not regained the lead.
Regained the tie, excuse me.
That was 31-all.
Anyhow, UVA's defensive end Cam Johnson, number 56, charged in from the right side on a blitz to sack the Hoosiers quarterback. He forced a fumble and recovered the ball all at the same time at the Indiana 14-yard line. The Wahoo offense ran onto the field, ran a few plays, and then Robert Randolph kicked his eighth field goal of the season to go 8-for-8 on the year, and that gave the Wahoos a 34-31 win. Anyhow, a huge sequence of events in those closing minutes of the game. Cam Johnson, it was nice to see him break through and really make really a stellar play, which the UVA defense needs big time this coming weekend against Carolina.
Now, did you have a chance to either listen or watch? Was the game on television anywhere?
It was on the Big Ten Network, which was pretty hard to get anywhere because of a variety of issues, because it's not that big a deal here in Central Virginia.
Well, I was out on Saturday evening, and I was keeping up with the score on my little cell phone there, and I was feeling pretty good there for a long time because we had a nice, comfortable lead. The next thing I know, I look down, and we're behind. So that was not good, but certainly just a huge win for the program, particularly the way they did it. So now, Dr. Call, how about North Carolina? You got any memories of the old Tar Heels from your playing days?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, one thing about what's happened recently is we've won a lot of games against UNC. And as a player, when you go into a stadium having won before, you have a lot of confidence. So I'd say that's one thing that we have on our side, even despite last year.
And Keenan Stadium and Scott Stadium are two of the prettier college football stadiums in the country, in my view. I mean, it's beautiful down there, as is Scott Stadium, just a terrific setting. So it would be a nice place to go down and win another game down there. And I guess Virginia did win there in 2009.
Yes, Jameel Sewell had a fantastic game. I was at that game in the press box and enjoying some of that southern fried Carolina chicken, which was really good. And
a little barbecue down there.
Oh, I tell you what, they know how to do that.
They hooked you up, huh?
One thing that they have not done well down there, Carolina, is they have not protected the adjacent property to Keenan Stadium, and all these parking decks have been built up, and all these new buildings, and it's almost become a concrete sidewalk jungle right around the stadium, and I would say the number of trees has been cut by 90%.
I guess it would be inappropriate to say the other thing they haven't done well is supervise the academics of the football team.
We're not going to take any shots at Sandy Williamson's football team. We're not going to do it. But I am a little disappointed in Carolina in some respects. But on the other hand, I do respect the fact that they did fire the coach. They got rid of Butch Davis. The assistants that were involved, and it looks like they're trying to make amends now. I'm a little frustrated with the NCAA for not bringing down their sanctions and getting that out of the way. It seems a little crazy to me that it's still dragging on. They've issued their letter where they identify all the violations, so it's all out in the open. They've completed their research and their interviews, and why they need to sit back like this and just make the ACC sweat? Why do they have to make North Carolina sweat? It just puts too many people in limbo.
Why don't I'll be the basketball guy asking the two football experts the questions. One thing I noticed, Carolina committed 5 turnovers last week against Rutgers. Do they need to do that again for Virginia to win?
Well, it's a game of big plays, and you bet. I think we're going to have a good pass rush like Chris Slade talked about. Hopefully Cam Johnson's going to be, you know, out-quicking his blocker, and that could open it up for the other side to come through if they have to double-team Cam. So, yeah, we're going to have to stop the run. They're averaging 4.9 yards a carry, so obviously we've got to stop the run and then put some heat on the passer.
But, I mean, from a turnover standpoint, that kind of can be the equalizer in football. If Virginia gets some short fields where they could force a turnover and maybe only have to run a 30-yard drive rather than an 80-yard drive, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a big difference. And we've been able to do well getting the ball back on their side in the red zone and capitalizing on it. So hopefully that'll continue.
It's interesting. I looked up some research from, the history of the series, which – they've been playing consecutively for some ridiculous number of years now. I want to say like 1919 or something. Let's see here. I'm looking it up right here.
I think Mr. Jefferson tossed the coin at the first meeting.
Virginia and North Carolina have played every single year consecutively since 1919. The history of the series, Virginia trails slightly, 54 wins to 57 losses and 4 ties in the series. It is the 5th oldest rivalry. And strangely, not that many games apparently have been played at Chapel Hill, which is sort of mind-boggling. It says here, Virginia is 12-29-3 in Chapel Hill. So where were they playing some of the other games? That's some fuzzy math to me. It seems like there must have been some other games played elsewhere. But anyway, besides, obviously, Charlottesville, Virginia has beaten Carolina twice on the road down there. So 22-20 in 2007. And then, of course, Jameel Sewell's greatest moment maybe in his final year at the helm in 2009, where he and Chris Byrd and it was the fullback that played so well in that game. Does anybody remember that fullback? God, the guy was terrific. But anyway, in that particular game, Virginia took good care of the ball and made a couple of frustrating turnovers, and they were able to keep Carolina off guard. So to answer the question, I think turnovers are always big in this series. It's an emotional game. It's the oldest rivalry we have. And I think the crowd will be a little bit larger in Keenan Stadium this weekend than they was for Rutgers.
Well, am I wrong? The reason I bring up turnovers, I think even though Coach London is increasing the talent level at Virginia rapidly, I still think Carolina might have a little edge talent-wise. I just think that maybe some turnovers, if they could force some turnovers, it may give Virginia an opportunity to pull the upset down there.
And conversely, don't create any turnovers.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Don't have any on our side. That'll kill us.
Can't have bad exchanges like the one between David Watford and Perry Jones, where you drop the ball and allow a defensive player to run 58 yards the other way. I think the Virginia pass defense is the key to this game for Virginia. And conversely, I think for Carolina, they've not been rushing well for whatever reason with this massive line they have. And they tend to throw quite a bit. And so this game could become just a passing fest for both schools. Carolina prefers the pass. I think Virginia's going to have a hard time running against this big, strong Carolina defense.
Which is going to be a problem, I think, because Coach London likes to run the football, and that puts a lot of pressure on a first-year quarterback. Well, yeah, I realize he's a sophomore, but he's first year of actually really playing.
Wouldn't matter if it was a fourth year or a first year. I know Chris Slade was talking about that. The bottom line is a lot of that stuff goes out the window. I remember Scott Seacules came into the game up in Charlottesville and played like a champ and wasn't even starting at that time. They had sat Mikowski down. And Seacules comes in the game and just played incredible. So I just think in games like this, particularly for Virginia, I think Rocco's got to keep his cool like he's been doing. Hopefully Kevin Parks is healthy. If not, Clifton Richardson has got to be able to fill in that as the second running back. And our wide receivers have got to run good routes, and they've got to get open, and they can't drop the ball. I know Matt Snyder is He had a bad drop against Indiana, but then he came back a few plays later, made a nice catch. And here's a kid from Richmond, and he's got to catch the ball. We need him to make possession plays, Chris Byrd to make possession plays.
That's the job of a receiver, to catch the ball. You know, they throw it to you, you're supposed to catch it. That's the gig.
Well, it's like in basketball, Hobgood. You got to catch the ball first.
That's right. You got to love that pill. And when you get your hands on it, don't let anybody take it away from you. But, Bobby, talk a little bit about Trey Nicholson, the first-year cornerback. You were a defensive back. How impressive is it, and how much of a challenge will he have this weekend with Carolina's passing game?
Well, you know, as a first yearman, he doesn't have the experience, but he's got the wheels. So
speed,
exactly.
Yeah.
He's got great speed. I think he's got great anticipation. And there again, you know, don't make any mistakes getting beat deep, but play the receivers tight. I think he could have a really good game.
Now, what's your attitude toward zone versus man-to-man coverage?
Well, you got to be able to play man-to-man. I mean, even in the zone, you're going to have to cover somebody. It's a little bit easier in zone to make somebody look open and then pick their pocket when the pass comes their way. On man-to-man, you pretty much got to be right on.
Now, what does Virginia do more readily, zone or man-to-man, or do they mix it up?
They mix it up pretty well, yeah. I mean, they've got the speed to play some man-to-man, which is good because if they're going to be blitzing, they're going to be in a man-to-man, so...
Because that's when you have that one-on-one coverage and the cornerbacks have to play.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then so it may come down to small things. And Perry Jones today on the teleconference from Charlottesville was talking about pass blocking. And the coaches work on this every single week. And he was talking about this today, and he brought it up. And it leads me to believe that Virginia is going to run a lot of quick play-action fakes. And then it's going to be very important for Max Million, the fullback, and for Perry Jones and Clifton Richardson when he's in the game, and Terrence Fells-Danzer, the other fullback. They've got to pick up the Carolina blitz because those linebackers are big, and they just going to have to stick their nose right in their chest, and they got to hit them hard.
And a lot of that's the quarterback reading the play. If you've got a blitzing linebacker, you're going to have somebody open. And also get those backs into the game, right? Do the swing pass, get the ball to the backs in different places on the field where they have a chance to run and show their stuff.
Well, Perry Jones had a huge play going around that little flare pass out in the backfield, and Rocco probably threw his best pass of the game. And it got about a 20-some yard game, and that was a huge gain late in the fourth quarter. And I think Virginia's got to have some plays like that to take some pressure off the receivers a little bit, take some pressure off the quarterback as the blitz comes on him. And
tell me again, what did Darius Jennings do in the Indiana game? He tried to catch a ball and lost it out of bounds?
He tried to field a punt too close to the sideline, or was it a kickoff?
It was a kickoff,
and he should have stayed away from it. It would have gone out of bounds,
and they'd had better field position.
That's right. A first year mistake.
But that leads into special teams. You know, anytime, particularly if a game is close, special teams become a factor too.
Jim, I'm glad you brought that up. That could be crucial. I mean, special teams is crucial. We're 8 for 8 on field goals. We've blocked a field goal. Punting is good, and we got to have punt coverage, but that could win the game. Could be the decisive factor.
Virginia's punter, Jimmy Howell, has a very slow release. However, he's averaging 45 yards a punt, and those that watch these things incessantly on the Sabre are talking about how long it takes for Howell to get rid of the ball. But so far, so good. And on the flip side, Virginia's been rotating those true freshmen at punt return. And let's just hope they make the right decisions on fair catching, that they field the ball cleanly. And sometimes if the other team outkicks their coverage, maybe we can get a wall and get a big run back. But
I feel pretty good about Robert Randolph walking onto the field with a couple of seconds to go with a chance to win the game. I'd take that right now.
Well, he's on fire.
Hey, you know, it may come down to athleticism. Who can make the – we got to make the big plays, and we've got the athletes to do it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's just interesting. The other thing about Nicholson, I think he's like 165 pounds.
The durability there.
He can tackle that 250-pound tight end, can he, if he needs to?
Well, he's not the one. Your safety's got to get that tight end. But real quick, because we've got about a minute before we go to break, Bobby, what's your prediction on the game?
Well, it's going to be close, I think, and probably less than a touchdown to win. I'd say we're going to take it. I think we've been there before. We've won there before. There's confidence, and our first-yearmen have more experience, and crossing my fingers.
If we win the turnover battle, I think we'll win the game.
Give me a score.
20-17.
20-17. Michael, you got that one down? 20-17. Bobby, pick a score here.
27-24. Us.
I'm going to go 17-13. Virginia, and quite possibly it could come down to Randolph trying to make a 35 or 40 yarder. Michael?
Relying on Randolph too. 16-10. Who's?
There you go. All right. So it's, we were all predicting sort of a low scoring game, which kind of goes against the norm for this season so far because there's been a lot of scoring, but here's an emotional game. It'll be a slugfest. I wouldn't be surprised if both teams had three turnovers each. I mean, it's that emotional.
And that game, that UNC EVA game, is noted for a lot of scoring.
All right. We will go to break. We'll be back with Michael Tusky's Olympic update after these messages. You're listening to Who's Talking?